Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Voices of Integrity Beauty. My name is Roberta Michelle Sycon, and I am the founder of Motivation for You and its division, Integrity Beauty Women of Excellence. Integrity Beauty Women of Excellence is a Christian unique ministry for women that includes pageantry, motivational speaking, and advocacy. Our program utilizes members' life experiences to enhance the lives of others and increases the participants' self-confidence and passion for Christ. Integrity Beauty is not a beauty pageant. It is a Christian leadership ministry that uses the crown and the sash as a tool to empower women to know that they are daughters of the King. The crown and the sash is used as a trademark of Ms. Helen Albert, our visionary, which also represents that though we may be broken in God's sight, we are His princesses. I would like to introduce to you our 2015 Integrity Beauty Woman of Strength, Vanessa King. Today, Vanessa will be discussing unemployed, now what? Hi, Vanessa. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Roberta.
Good.
And how are you?
I'm doing great. And you definitely are the woman of strength, and I know you're going to have lots of wisdom to give us today about this topic, Vanessa. And where would you like to start?
Well, I'd like to start by telling a little bit about my story recently dealing with unemployment. I had been working for a company for a number of years, and I had some health issues and actually ended up missing a lot of work. And because I exhausted all of my things for my FMLA leave time and still continue to have some health issues and missed additional work, I ended up losing my job.
Wow, Vanessa.
And,
you poor me. Okay, so then what happened after that?
Well, basically after that, I had already been looking for other employment because during the time after exhausting my FMLA leave, they first took me down to a part-time basis, and I knew I couldn't survive on part-time income. So I actually had already filed for unemployment, but then they had started upping my hours a little bit, so I was never able to draw any of the unemployment. And once I was terminated, I went and reopened that unemployment claim and started drawing my unemployment benefits.
So, Vanessa, once you started drawing your unemployment benefits, how did that work? Did you have to go through just through your work, or how did you go about applying for that?
Actually, now they make a lot of things simple because you can do majority of things online now. So, I had filed everything online, so I submit my claims every week online. You also have to show at least two employers every week where you have applied for work in your, they want it in your actual field of whatever your history of employment was in. So since I was basically in retail, that's mainly where I was focusing on, is trying to get back into that retail industry.
So whenever you were doing that, then what happens after you go through that whole process, Vanessa? What's the next thing that happens?
Well, actually, whenever you do file, they also do notify your employer, whoever was your past employer, any employers where you would be drawing your benefits from, because it's not always necessarily that employer that you last worked for that you were you would actually be drawing your unemployment benefits from. So they notify not only just your employer you just left, but anyone in that time period where they're going to be basing your unemployment income from.
Okay, and, so far, I was going to say, so far from the process that you've said, Is there anything that you've learned so far from the process that you've been through first that somebody should do from anything that you've learned, or do you have any suggestions or anything, or so far we're okay? So far,
Well, basically, just keep records of everything, because when they do notify your employers, the employer can protest depending on the reason why you were terminated. If you are still eligible to draw unemployment, so the employer can fight it, and then it's up to the state to determine if you are still eligible. Because yes, an employer can fire you because you miss too much work, because it does hurt their business, because they don't have that manpower to keep their business operational. But if there is legitimate reasons that you can show that you have caused you to miss work, and those absences and fines with medical issues, and you cannot help from being ill, and you have documentation that you were ill, your doctor's statements, any visits to the hospital you made, all of that, you make sure that you do keep records, because I found it difficult because I hadn't kept all of that. So then I had to run around to every single doctor and hospital or contact them to get my records so that I would have that documentation to use for evidence.
Now, did you ever have to end up using it, Vanessa, or was it just a good backup for you to have? Whenever you were going through the process.
Yes, I did have to use that because my employer did try to fight it, and stating that I was fired for violating the attendance policy. But back to what I had just said, because I had proof that the majority of my absences were due to illnesses and had that documentation to back it up, the state still found in my favor, and I was able to continue drawing my unemployment. But then your employer can also appeal at a higher level and request a hearing. And that's where the point it had gotten to mind. They had requested a hearing. And then a lot of times it's good to have legal counsel at that point in order to help you because a lot of people will back down when they see that their employer is continually fighting them to keep them from getting unemployment and make them pay back all the benefits that you've been paid. A lot of people will back down from the employer and just give up, but I'm just here to tell you, don't give up.
Amen, Vanessa. Do you have any suggestions on when you're looking for for an attorney? Do you have any suggestions of anything that you should look for in an attorney?
Well, I basically went through legal aid with mine, because since unemployment was now my only income, my source of income, I was eligible to go through legal aid to use their attorneys to assist me with the case. And that's no charge to you, because you do fall within their income guidelines depending on how much you're drawing in unemployment. And since I did, I was able to go through them. And they usually have attorneys that specialize in certain areas, so you're set up with an attorney who has worked with that area in the past to assist you in pleading your case in order to win and keep your benefits.
So I guess this is a two-part question, Vanessa. How long does it take for you, once you get involved in legal aid, to go through the process of setting up for an appointment, but also to how many times do you see an attorney, and also how long was the whole process? Does it usually get done pretty quick, or could it be years that this could be drawn out to get get, you know, this covered?
There can be times where things can go longer, but in my case, since I was able to get all the evidence, because you've got to get it in time for whenever basically the unemployment gives you, okay, you've got so many days to produce your evidence, and that gets submitted into them, and then they've got your hearing date set. The hearing date is usually after they file, it's usually within a month after you if somebody filed for the appeal, it's usually within a month after that they have your date set up. It depends on how booked they are up in their cases when your time period is going to be. But fortunately, like I said, mine wasn't too long. I didn't have to wait too long in order to get in there. And depending on when your hearing date is coming up, too, legal aid also rushes you to give you a priority appointment if your hearing is coming up fairly soon, so that they can get in there, get all the evidence, and review it so that they are prepared for the hearing.
Okay, because what I was going to ask you is, because you know how sometimes people say that whenever they go through legal aid or something like that, oh, it takes forever, I can't even get a hold of my attorney, or things like that. So I wanted to see, did you have very many troubles with your attorney, Vanessa, or did it seem pretty smooth, or is there any suggestions you could offer if somebody's having a hard time getting through to their attorney? I don't know the process, so that's why I was asking if there's anything you could suggest if someone's having an issue where they can't get through. Can they ask for a new attorney, or is there anything like that they could do?
Yes, there is. You can go through, and, you know, if you feel that your attorney is not doing their job, you can request to be assigned to a different attorney, and I know that people who have had to do that before, but if you've got, you know, an attorney that's willing and able to push for you, you know, some people may say, well, they're not getting paid, so they're not going to really do the work that required to do. But I had an excellent attorney. He let me know what I needed to get, how soon I needed to get it to him, so that he could get all the evidence sent to the unemployment hearing office, so that they would have all the documentation there, because your employer also has an opportunity to view whatever has come in prior to the hearing, so you want to make sure you do get it there by the deadlines, because if they don't have that evidence prior, it's going to be hard to produce something later on that wasn't submitted as evidence before the hearing.
So then once that all goes through and everything's okay, what is a hearing like?
The hearing, they actually do everything basically by phone, unless it's requested by one of the parties to have a face-to-face hearing. So that saves on you having to travel so far. You can do it from your home. With me, the legal aid attorney, like to have you come right into their office, and so you're sitting there right with the legal aid attorney in their office on basically a conference call with all the parties and your judge that is hearing the case on there. So that saves a lot of travel time and having to wait around in the courtroom. And they're fairly good about starting on time. They give usually so many minutes for each hearing and try to keep the hearing scheduled within those paces so that you don't run into somebody else's hearing time.
So is it pretty cut and dry and to the point, or is it like a long time? Because I'm not sure how it would work. To basically, here are the facts, here's the information, and this is what I've decided, and that's it? Or do you have a chance to talk, or is it mostly the attorney talking?
Yes, you have. The attorney will talk, and they'll probably ask you some questions also. So you do have an opportunity to speak also. But fortunately, with my case, when we did come to the hearing, it was postponed because the key witness for my employer was on an FMLA leave, and so they did postpone mine a little because of that. But then when we came up to the actual hearing, when it was rescheduled, my employer didn't show up, so they didn't call in for it. So whenever the other party doesn't call in, they base it on whatever evidence they receive. So since they didn't come up to present anything different, it was found in my favor that I was still eligible. And as they had said previously, because I was ill, I had proof that I had been ill, and there was no willful intent on my part to miss work purposely in order to get fired.
Well, yay, it worked out. So
yes, it worked out.
So after it was all done, was the process pretty simple? Was it still like, did it just flow into the next part where you received your benefits again, or did it take a while after that part? Or
they had already found in my favor, I was still continuing benefits. But had it not have turned up in my favor, I would have had to pay back all the benefits that I received. So that's why it's very important for you to fight for it, because if you don't, whatever money you have been paid, you may end up having to pay back.
Okay. Is there any suggestions from anything that you learned? Did you learn anything after it was all over and done with, or was it a pretty good experience? Is there anything you would have changed, or would you have kept it the same?
I would have made sure that I kept all my documentation, because I actually had, like, anytime you're written up for anything at work, make sure you have all that copy, because some of that stuff, I had it for a while, but then in the process of moving, over a 10-year period, that's, quite a lot of things to keep. So a lot of that stuff ended up getting thrown away, and with my last move, some of the things that I actually needed ended up getting thrown away, so I didn't have all that evidence that I could have had from my employer previously to do that. But they did have to present that evidence again, but then I had an opportunity to dispute some of the evidence on there. So I had my backup to those, so I knew exactly what days they were saying I missed, and I had the medical documentation saying, yes, I was at the doctor's office. I was during the time I was supposed to work, and because of the timing of how long I was in there, there was no way, even if I was able to come to work, to get to work that day, even coming in late. Because that even counts against you, too, coming in late. It counts as a half a day's absence for each time you're late. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Vanessa, so I'm really glad it worked out for you. So since then, how has it been? How has the process been? Because I'm sure you've probably been looking for work, and like, how did the process go for you? What's it like, Vanessa, whenever you're, unemployed, and then you go from that trying to find a job, because it's really hard right now with, the economy and things like that. How's the process been for you, Vanessa?
Well, it was actually a long process for me. In my younger days, anytime I left a job, I was able to find something immediately prior to even leaving a job. But in my case, with having so many years of experience, your age, even though people will say that, the age doesn't matter, it's going to be harder for you to find employment when you're older, but you think it would be easier because those seasoned workers are the ones who are more dependable than the younger people. But the employers know they can get away with paying the younger people a lower salary than paying the more experienced workers. So it's a lot harder for you to try to find work once you're older and have more experience in work. So I had that difficulty finding. It took me basically 3 months to even find a part-time job, and I'm happy to say I was just hired for a full-time position that I'll be starting in a couple of weeks. So I'm so happy about that, because the part-time, I could still draw partial unemployment because I wasn't getting paid sometimes as much as what I would draw on unemployment. And that's another thing that people don't realize. You can continue, as long as you're showing you're still working for full-time work, even though you're working part-time, if you're not making as much as you would be drawing on unemployment, you can still draw partial unemployment. So a lot of people don't realize that. They think, oh, I'm back to work, so now I can't get any more unemployment. So that helps out a lot, being able to draw from both your part-time employer and still be able to get partial benefits from your unemployment because you are not back to work on a full-time basis.
Now, I know in Ohio we can apply for unemployment online, and in Ohio, because I've been through, like, with the process of losing my grants and that through my former job before I started college, I know I had to go through unemployment myself. And it asks you if you're looking for work. Now, how does that work when you're filling out online and they ask you how many, like, if you looked for work this week and you're already working, what do you do?
You still, as I said, you still have to show that you are looking for full-time work. So you do have to still list at least two places where you've contacted in some type of method, whether it's been applying online, applying in person, calling them, checking to see if they're hiring. You do have to show that, and you do want to keep documentation, because at any time they can request to see proof that you actually did apply at those places, or they can even contact those places because they ask the address and phone numbers for every place apply each week. So,
yes,
you know,
that's a big
thing. So they can
follow. Right.
Yes, no. So they can at any time decide, okay, let's just do an audit on this person to see if they're actually really applied for these places. So you need to have, even if that place doesn't remember that you called, you need to keep a written record of what day you applied, who you applied to, their address, phone number, even possibly even who you talked to, so that way they know you at least have had that. And like when you're in applying online, make sure you keep all those email notifications showing that you applied. I have a separate folder that I keep in my email of the places that I applied where I've gotten the responses back showing, yes, you applied for this position on this day. That way it's right there on my computer. If they ask to see documentation to show that I applied online, it's there. So
that's
you need to
fantastic.
Make sure you keep as much information as you can.
Absolutely, especially like you said with the auditing reason, because you know when you call, like especially from state of Ohio, because that's where we're both from, you know, it says on there, they say it very clearly that they can audit you at any time and make sure you're being honest, because you don't want it to come back and bite you. That's one big thing, if you just make sure you're honest. And Vanessa, we have a couple minutes left. Is there anything else you'd like to share in closing about your experience or for somebody that may be going through unemployment and are discouraged?
I just wanted to tell people, you know, to keep going. Don't give up. It may take you a while to find a job. I was fortunate to have a friend who had recently got hired at the company that I will be going to work for full time, and she had just started, and they had asked about people referring other people they knew, that because they needed to hire more people. And so I was fortunate that she thought about me and made sure she gave them my name and phone number so that they could contact me. And I had already, when she had told me about the position, I went ahead and applied online. So I already had my application in online, and I was just had to wait for them to contact me. And they were fairly quick about contacting me. So it's good, you know, to pull out all your resources, ask friends, relatives. I did a lot of posting on Facebook, and I got a lot of referrals, even though that one was the only one that panned through for a position. I did get a lot of suggestions from my Facebook friends that let me know about places that were hiring. So, you know, just ask every possible source that you can possibly get to find out is working. And don't be afraid to ask people. Let people know that you're out of work. You know, don't be afraid to ask, you know, to ask people to help you. And that's the main thing, because it's good to have that support system behind you, that other people are also helping you look for something.
Absolutely. Networking is key, big time. And another little suggestion I'd like to add is anytime you get a business card from someone, make sure that you write on the business card where you met them and the date. And if you can, kind of like write down what you were wearing. So if you have to describe yourself to them, you can say, you know, and write down where you're sitting, like if you were to the left of the person or if you're right where you were, the event, because if you can be more descriptive, especially if it's been a while since they haven't talked to you, and, you know, you write to them, maybe if it's even like a branch manager of a bank or anything like that, the more information you give them that they can remember and recollect you, it'll really help. So that's one thing that I suggest if you network with anyone is to keep your cards, write your information, and when you met them, where you met them. And I'm telling you, you know, networking is an amazing thing. You know, it just takes one person, and you just got to, like you said, just tell people, because you never know who could help you. And Ness, I'm really proud of you, and thank you for sharing your story. I really appreciate it, and that's why you definitely are the woman of strength, Vanessa.
All right, and thank you, Roberta.
You're welcome, Vanessa. We'd like to thank you for taking the time to listen to Vanessa King. And if you have a subject that you'd like Vanessa to speak about, please feel free to leave comments. You're welcome to follow us on Blog Talk Radio. Join us at Twitter at Motivation for You. You can email Vanessa at theking@msintegritybeauty.com, or please join us in our mission to heal hearts and inspire lives at www.msintegritybeauty.com. If you have a message, Integrity Beauty has a mission. And until next time, be a world changer.